Father, we pray that you would touch and anoint Pastor Byron right now to speak your words and your heart to us, that you would open our minds and our ears to hear what you would say to us at the gathering place. Lord, and use Byron to speak life and truth into the hearts of everybody that hears this, whether in person, on Zoom, or on the podcast. And we thank you for that, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's this is probably the message for the men, but also for the women, and it's encouraging us to live out Jesus that lives in us, and I'm kind of excited about giving a message on chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Joshua. And I would encourage you, when you go home, read the whole chapters, because we're looking, highlighting certain verses, but there's the in-betweens, and I'll try to reflect on that as much as I can, but we're highlighting some verses. So Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, Holy Spirit, have your way. I thank you, God, that the mind of Christ dwells in me richly, and the mind of Christ dwells in you richly. To take your word and that it'll be profitable to our lives and how we live in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. What a way to start. What a way to start. And what a way for the Lord to encourage Joshua. I mean, to follow in the bootstraps of Moses, the great leader, and said, now the baton is yours. Go forward. And what I love the verses preceding this, God wanted to equip Joshua for the job of leading millions of people across the Jordan River. He says in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you. Wow. Do you and I believe that? Do you and I really believe that? That no one will be able to stand against you? There's no power on earth, no person alive that is able to stand against you all the days of your life. Not just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not just for noontime or evening time, but all the days of your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? As I was in Moses, I will be in you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow, that rings out all the way into the new covenant when Jesus, the Messiah, took the stage and he declared to you and I, he declared to you and I that I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you through life. Do you believe that when the hard times come? Believe that when everything is going wrong in your life? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Here it was, God himself encouraging Joshua, the new leader, and saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And then Jesus hits the stage, and he, when he died on the cross and gave his life on our behalf, and he says to you and I, don't fear, don't be afraid. I am with you always. What a life-changing words those are for all of us that follow Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 6, be strong and courageous, because I will lead you, these people, to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors would give them. He's encouraging us and saying, here, I have a plan for your life. I'm going to fulfill that plan for your life. But something that needs to be in our lives is to be strong and courageous. Do you ever come to those times and say, well, that will never happen? You ever go to those times and get discouraged and say, why is God taking so long? Why is this happening to me? Why? You know what? Those are words of defeat. And yet God is declaring to us words, be strong and courageous. Let that voice rise up in you when the voice is saying, you're not good enough, you're not well enough, the obstacles are too difficult. Then verse 7, he says, be strong, now, underline it, very courageous. A little shift here. The first mention of be strong, courageous, it said, I've got a task before you, and don't get, just go for it, because I've got it all planned out, and I'll take care of you through that. Then he goes on to add the very to it. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in wherever you go. Be very courageous about how you allow your life to be run. And not just be courageous. Take the heart of all that God says you are, all that God says you'll be, and be careful to know what he says about you, what his word says about you. And this is where the very courageous comes into play. Because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy our lives. And we got to know that we know that we know the Word of God. We got to know it. That when the challenges of truth come, we will not turn to the right. We will not turn to the left. We will stay the line of what God says. That's where very courageous enters. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now it goes back to the challenge is, be strong and courageous. Remember, fear has no place in your life. And another one has no place in your life is discouragement. There's another place where you got to rise up and be strong and courageous. And not let the circumstances of life dictate you to who you are, but let God's word dictate to who you are. And when fear comes, because it will come. Because God said, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, because he knows fear will come. And it's not from God. He's giving you us a clear picture where fear comes from. It's not from him, it's from an enemy of our life. And he says, but you know what? The fruit of allowing fear to come in our life brings all kinds of discouragement. It won't give us the power to wait on the Lord. Discouragement robs us of the power to wait on the Lord. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." You know, it's very interesting that rings forward, because several times they said that to Moses, and they did the opposite. And Joshua, hearing this, he probably said, "Wow, you know, here we go again. I remember the people saying, we will not. Moses up in the mountain, and they build a golden calf. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you." Ha ha. They didn't fully obey Moses. Joshua knew that. "Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whoever you have commanded them, we will put them to death." Wow, strong words. Now there's a key that he says here. Before, God was telling him, be strong, be very strong in courage, be very strong in courage in the different areas. Now the people are crying out to him. He says, we'll put them to death. Only be strong and courageous. You know what? The church is looking for leaders that are strong and courageous. Just as the people were saying, we want to see that in you, Joshua. We want to see that in you. Unfortunately, the enemy's been really at attack. As far as I know, since I became a Christian, and I don't want to call it names, but way back years ago, I can say that because I'm 81 years old, and I can go way back. And people, leadership disappointing the flock because they were not strong and courageous. And they fell. We'll go into this later, but you know what? One of the things that Scripture kind of pulls out for a leader to be strong and courageous, what he cannot afford to do is say, "I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be courageous." The leader then is setting him up for a fall, because he's not declaring where the strength comes from, where the courage comes from. If it's manufactured in their own life, thinks he is strong, take another look. He who thinks he's strong is setting himself up for a fall. It's very important as we go in there, find out the source of our strength and the source of our courage is within us, not from us. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, living in the power of the Holy Spirit also requires yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. Not my way, His way. You know what? It's after all this encouragement, we jump into chapter 2. And actually, hearing what's in chapter 1, we can see threads of that through the whole book of Joshua. And it came... this is his sort of as taking the position in the leadership of Moses on himself. He came to sort of like in Scripture his first decision. Something, this is what we're going to do. And he said, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies to Shechem. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho, that they went and entered the house of the prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. All right, after this encouragement, he says, go. He sent only two guys. You know, interesting that Jesus said, go by twos. Don't do it alone. It's the issue, but go by twos. He sent two spies in the land to a very evil city. And they entered that city. And all the opposition was in that city. They could have feared for their life, but I think they had the call in their life as Joshua is displaying to them, strong and courageous. They went on the mission into Jericho, strong and courageous. And it says when they entered the town, they found a prostitute named Rahab. We're going to get back to her because some interesting things happened as they stayed at her home. I'm glad I got these things marked. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come. Now, I said I picked these things out because what happened was she had the two men in their house, she hid them, and then the word got out that there are spies in our city, and word travels quickly, and we'll see from other verses, Josh, the people in Jericho knew about them leaving Egypt, knew about them crossing the Red Sea, knew about everything, and they said, they were, we'll find out later, they were afraid. I mean, there's this certain God that's with these people that is amazing. So when they came, when the people of the town who knew all this came to her home, they said, hey, do you have those spies in your house? And she said, no, they left. They left, and I think they went. I think they went this way. I think they went off this way. So they left her house, and they went off where she said they went in the wrong direction. And then we'll skip down over to verse 8. Before the spies laid down for that night, she went up to the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen over us. She knew it, they knew it. And so that all who live in this country are melting with fear because of you. Wow, okay, all right, okay. Be strong and courageous. Have a clear picture of who the God is that lives in you. He's greater one lives in you than he's in the world. And now we have a contrast. People that do not want to acknowledge the God of the universe. And two spies that are acknowledging, being strong and courageous, in the town where the whole town is worshiping idols and doing evil things. And they're the only two there. And of all places, they wind up with in a house of a prostitute. And she hid them. And she protected them. And she was telling them a very telling thing. Hey guys, we don't operate in the spirit of fear. But I'll tell you something, people without Jesus do. You hear me? They may come across strong. They may come across as bullies. They might have strong words. They might have a perception of power and strength. But really down deep inside, they're afraid. And it's up to us to bring light to them that they no longer have to be afraid. What the prostitute told them, they're in great fear. They're melting with fear. And I think that fear hits an epic center when they die. And all of a sudden, they're lost. And they realize there's no coming back. No chance to say, I changed my mind. After death comes the judgment. And they'll know fear, great fear, and their hearts will melt with fear. Because if they've heard and reject it, it's an awful thing. I remember when I talked about Hank, when he called me on the phone and he said, my son Eric's in the hospital and it's life-threatening. And he starts, I heard this man, if you know Hank, I know Hank, he's a very strong guy. But that strong guy was weeping and saying, my son can't die without Jesus. Please, he can't die without Jesus. And he was weeping on the phone with me. And I said, Hank, we'll pray that he's healed and that he'll come to know Jesus. Well, I remember I read that text from him. He did get healed. And now he's seeking Jesus. I can't say yet that he knows Jesus, but that Eric is seeking Jesus. Fear really belongs to people that don't know Jesus. Fear has no place in your life or my life. And the fruit of fear is getting discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you quit believing the promises of what God says. You don't want to go there. And when they heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed. Because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Something is happening to the prostitute Rahab. Something is happening. She has invited in her house the two spies that are strong and courageous. Something is happening to this woman. Something has happened to this woman. And then it's described in the next verse. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that belong to them. All right? There's something happening with this prostitute, Rahab. All of a sudden, rather than thinking about the lifestyle that she chose, not thinking about who she was called, the prostitute Rahab, now she's saying, I've got a vision of the you guys and the God that you serve. I've heard all about him. I've heard all about him. Now, I want to show you kindness. I want to show you. Wow, there's something a transformation happening in the prostitute's life. I want to show you kindness. I want to show you, will you spare my father, my mother, Oh, wow, now a connection with her family. I have no idea. The scripture doesn't talk about whether they were disappointed or whatever, that their daughter was prostituting herself. But we hear her caring for her father and her mother and saying, please, please, my brothers, my sisters, it doesn't say, but her father and mother or brothers and sister alienate from her because of her lifestyle? I don't know. It doesn't say that. But it does say that she cares about her father, her mother, her brothers, and her sisters. And she recognizes the God who the Israelites serve. She recognizes who they are, that they're the men and women of God Almighty. And and she says, not only that, not only my fathers, my mother, and my brothers, and my sisters, but all that belong to them. All that belong to them. And that you will save them from death. There's only one way to be saved from death. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, then go on your way. Interesting. Something about 3 days, isn't it? She said this, and she, what she knew when she said it, it would only take 3 days for them to come out of hiding and go back to the troops in Israel, the Israelites, and they would have free passage. She had no knowledge of how long these enemies of theirs would be searching, but she said 3 days. She said 3 days. She said, just hide yourself. Jesus was hidden for 3 days in a tomb. And then he came out and declared freedom, love, forgiveness to all of us. They hid for 3 days and came out to share with Israel, you have victory. You have victory. The city is in your hands. And it's an interesting thing because the people in the city, back to them. People without Jesus Christ, people without the Holy Spirit, whether they know it, but we need to know it, they're the ones living in fear. Now, how that made define that fear? Well, they build a wall, a mighty, thick, high wall that they said, this, no one will breach our wall. We're protected. We're protected. They did things that out of fear of being destroyed. And it didn't work. Because either Todd or I will give another message about Jericho, what really happened to Jericho. So there were 3 days. And now the men had said to her, this oath you made us, swore we will be binding on us, unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window, though which you let us know, and unless you have brought your fathers and mothers and brothers and all their family into the house. Well, that sounds like something that from the past, when Moses, the leader, led a whole nation out of captive in Egypt, blood on the post. Now, of all signs that would protect Rahab, the prostitute, was a red ribbon on the door. Right? And they said, unless you follow through and do this, you'll not be saved. Wow. Unless you put the blood on the doorpost, unless you're in the house, the death angel, you will not be protected. Same thing. Similar. So we have them 3 days in hiding to bring out the words of victory. And now we have safety for the prostitute because of a red ribbon. Then he goes on, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own hands. We will not be responsible. For as for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our hands if the hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath and you made us swear to. So, and then she said, I agree. You know, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And if we choose not to, like, go out in the house and go in the streets, you've lost the protection. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about rejecting the provision. Stay in the house, you'll be saved. Remain outside in the streets, not saved, you'll be destroyed. She agreed. So she sent them on their way, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord on the window. Now, let's go back to the story. Be strong and courageous. And leadership needs to be strong and courageous. But you know what? Pastors and teachers are not just the leaders. There's husbands with children that are leaders. And that this message of being strong and courageous goes through the whole chain of command of leadership. And leaders have to be willing to do what God says. It's sad to say for me that a lot of people that I highly respected in ministry fell. It's sad to say that leaders that I've known of get drunk with wine and not filled with the Spirit. That leaders fall morally and become corrupted. They ought to take another look at being acquainted with what God says and to know what God says and not turn to the right or to the left, but stay on the line and stay that. And you know what? And I can imagine Joshua, you know, going in the, taking the charge from Moses, how overwhelming that could have been to him. But God was saying, you know, Joshua, the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Take courage, be strong and courageous. because what I say is what I'm going to do. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, in closing, we want to take a look at something. Two choices in life. Two choices. Wow. And I purposely mentioned and said, Rahab the prostitute. I said it several times intentionally. Rahab the prostitute. Because her name got changed. When she met these spies and they had conversations back and forth and she hid them, gave them instructions, go hide for 3 days, then you'll be safe to go da 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 da. And she had this interaction with these two spies. And I think they were handpicked by Joshua. They're handpicked. He knew they were men of strength and courage. And he knew, and he said they could be in this terrible environment. And what environment they wound up in is the house of a prostitute. And this woman spending time with these two men, her life was changed because she was no longer now Rahab the prostitute. She was a Rahab in the lineage of David and eventually Jesus Messiah. She caught the vision. And the only little piecemeal we have of her catching the vision, saying, oh, I care for my mom, I care for my dad, I care for my brothers, I care for my sister, and all that belong to them. What we've seen in those words, a life transformation taking place in Rahab, and her name now longer will be called Rahab the prophet, the prostitute, but Rahab, the lineage of Jesus. That's who you are. That's who I am. With all the messy stuff in my life and all the messy stuff in your life, you've been redeemed, you've been loved, you've been forgiven. You receive mercy when you don't deserve it. You receive His forgiveness when you don't deserve it. It's amazing love beyond words descriptions of the relationship where we have our Father through Jesus. But there's another group. Rahab, the lineage of Jesus. Then a whole city that heard about it, they knew about it, and did nothing about it, but build a wall around them that eventually collapsed. And all of them died. The big choice, life or death. Rahab might have made a lot of mistakes in her life. Maybe chose a lifestyle that wasn't the best. But when she saw the best, she clung to it. And a whole people full of fear, melted hearts. Oh, they thought they were strong. Oh, they thought they had this great wall. Oh, they thought there no one could breach their city. No one could ever defeat them because they were strong. We were strong in our own strength. God is calling you and I to be strong in Him. He, back again, he who thinks he is strong, take heed lest you fall. It's only by knowing our God, knowing His word, knowing His truth, that actually life transformation takes place. I hope this is a benefit to all of us. And it would ring out in our lives that we leave here that God's intention for for you and I. He knows our weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He'll fortify your strengths, and he'll strengthen you in your weakness. And remember, when you misstep, we talked about it a little bit this morning, when you have a misstep, go before this loving God. If we confess our sins, he's just and right to forgive our sins and cleanse us from some of our cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Each day is new, clean, restored, and we have an opportunity to face life strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a prophetic Sunday, and I just want to say, you know, Ginny, for weeks now,